Greetings to all of you this morning in the name of our Heavenly Father, Jesus our Lord. So good to be with you. Our group is about half or less than half the size that it was earlier. Our children are very much an integral part of this weekend. So I love interacting with children, but I understand that it's well maybe that they have some free time as well and not be here with us. As I mentioned last night, my thoughts and memory went back to a number of years to the first conference. And I'm so grateful that this has continued even to today. I believe it's good for mothers and fathers, especially young mothers and fathers who have families, to gather for a weekend of encouragement. And I really want that to be what I share in these next few topics. I want it to be an encouragement to you. I feel like I'm among the faithful in the land. And we're scattered across, as has been mentioned already, the entire world nearly. And so it's good to be among those who are seeking truth, balanced truth, that is. Appreciated that topic, Hosea. I told someone that my assignment this weekend is one that I am very, I think I can say I'm passionate about it. And I told him one thing that's easy for me to do is when I become passionate about something, I become a bit imbalanced. And so, as Hosea said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, referred to that scripture where it's a possibility that we become deceived, we're to take heed that we don't be deceived. Just several verses later there, the Apostle Paul says, "Ye that are wise men, judge ye what I say." And so if I say something in this topic or in future topics this weekend that is imbalanced, that is not correct, ye that are wise, those of you that have come further, much further than I have, you tell me, judge ye what I say. The home, the family. We have five children, as I said last night. And our children range between the age of 27 and 37. My wife and I's responsibility to shape and to teach our children in many ways is past. It's behind us. And I can absolutely see failures, many of them. But I'm also grateful for the grace of God. I'm grateful for His Word and His instructions in His Word. Remember, as a young man, a minister was in our community, and for a week, a series of meetings, and one night he preached a message on the home, and he made this comment that as a young minister, he says, there's a possibility that I'll fail. But he says, I'm not going to shy away from preaching about the home and the family just because there's a possibility that I might fail. And so I have failed because I know I have. I'm not going to shy away from the Word of God and teaching truth. This weekend, the first message that I'd like to consider is from Joshua, taken from Joshua chapter 24. I invite you to turn to that scripture if you have your Bibles, Joshua 24, verse 14 through 28. Homes serving the Lord. But as for my house, we will serve the Lord. As for my house, we will serve the Lord. Someone has said that every well-trained Christian household is a nursery of all that tends to bless the world, while disorderly and unchristian families are hotbeds and vices for evil. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24, verse 14 through verse 28. I invite you to stand, if you would please, as we read this text. Joshua 24, 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all that the way wherein we went, and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave them out before us all, and the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but the Lord we will serve, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made the covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak and what that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words that the Lord hath spoken unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. Thank you, and you may be seated. As for my house, we will serve the Lord. These words, written some 3,500 years ago, I think are very contemporary for us today as it relates to our homes and serving the Lord. It may seem that verse 14 and 15, which primarily are text verses, seem a bit out of context. Why is Joshua talking about the home all at once when it seems to be he begins the chapter and ends the chapter by talking about idolatry and worshiping of idols? And these, I want us to remember that Joshua 23 and 24, these be the last words of Joshua. These were some of the last words that Joshua shared with his people Israel. And you know, we take note of last words, the importance of last words. I'm wondering how many of you in your homes have this little saying somewhere in your home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I noticed that over here on this little cottage, right at the entrance there, you'll find those words. As for my house, we will serve the Lord. Hung right alongside our entrance door, you will find those words in our home. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. I've often wondered, it makes me aware of the fact that when we have guests that come to our front door, they read those words, what goes through their mind? What are they expecting to see, to hear, when they open the door? As for my house, we will serve the Lord. What are they expecting to see? What are they expecting to hear? Let's consider this a bit. Was Joshua a bit out of place? Now, this is a statement. Joshua says, you choose who you want to serve, but for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. It wasn't a suggestion, but it was a statement, as I understand, that Joshua was making. This is the way it will be for my house. We're going to serve the Lord. Was it a bit of an overreach, or was it a bit over the top for making such a brash, hard statement? Would it have been better if Joshua would have said, if the Lord will, we'll serve him? No. He needn't say that. It is the Lord's will. My home, your home, serves him. Serves the Lord. Was Joshua understanding his responsibility? You see, Joshua could not force his fellow Israelites, God's people, to make that decision. Neither can I make my neighbor say the same thing, that I'm going to serve the Lord. I can encourage him to do that, maybe. But my responsibility is my house as a father, as parents. My house. Not someone else's house necessarily, but my house. As for me and my house, I've heard the statement of a young man. Well, he wasn't so young anymore. His sons were teenagers. And he says something like this, and it grieved me. He says, why don't the church leaders do something about the conduct of my sons? Is that the way it should work? My responsibility as a father, as for my house. Now, I do know, we need to be balanced here again. Hebrews 13:7 says, they're talking about leadership there. It says, they watch for your souls, that they must give an account. Leaders do have a responsibility. Church leaders do. But in this, what we're talking about here this morning, as it relates to us, our homes, we as parents, as fathers, have a responsibility. Is it okay if I ask of my home something that a fellow church member may not ask of their children in their home? I've heard this question been raised many times. Is it right? And let me just use an example. I was grateful to hear, I figured it was that way, but I was grateful to hear, and it was confirmed, that at Faith Mission Home, they have a curfew. And in my mind, that's a good thing. And I grew up as a young boy having a curfew. By 11 o'clock, we were to be at home. Well, as a father, I passed that on to my children. As parents, we did. But I've never been a part of a church where that was a policy. Now, were we out of place? As for me and my house, we'll have a curfew. Because we heard about some of the safeties of that, the need for that this morning. Personal responsibility for my home. For my home. And I believe that if it's handled correctly, it not need stifle the relationship of our sons and daughters with their peers and with the rest of those who do not have those kind of curfews or guidelines for their homes. We must be careful, but I think we can call our sons and daughters even to a higher standard of living than maybe others would, as for me and my house. Now I'd like to dig into this scripture a bit deeper this morning. I want to consider three words that I believe we find in this text. The words are worship, they are warning, and they are witness. Worship, warning, and witness. We find the first one, verse 14 and 15, where he uses the word, we don't find the word worship here, but we find the word serve. I think maybe six times in verse 14 and 15, serve or served. And it simply means worship. Worship. Idolatry. What is idolatry? We don't hear much about idolatry, do we? Is an idol something that's made of sticks and stones? Or an image that we bow down to and we worship? There probably was some of that as it relates to these people that Joshua had referenced to. Idolatry. The dictionary says that idolatry is one who worships idols. Or there's excessive adoration and worship and devotion to one. That's idolatry. Someone else has said that idolatry and the worshiping of idols is bowing to heathen gods or the worship of such. Servants of what we worship. We become servant to what we worship and serve. Worshippers. Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, it clearly says that ye shall serve God upon this mountain, or worship God on this mountain. Serving God, worshiping God. To serve something means that we are enslaved, become enslaved to it. We become enslaved to what we worship. Slaves to what we worship. Bible would also indicate in Psalm 115 that there it talks about idols, and it says that these idols have mouths, but they don't speak. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have a nose, but they don't smell. They have hands, but they don't handle. And they have feet, but they do not walk. And then he further says, those that worship them are like unto them, or just like them. They become like what we worship. We become like what we worship. That's interesting. Joshua talks about the gods of Israel and the worshiping of them. He says, what does he say in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. Then in verse 15, he talks about the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. The gods of the Amorites. He made reference to the gods which were the other side of the flood. I believe he had reference to the other side of the river, where the gods of their father, Abraham, withdrew himself from the gods that they were serving in his day. And then he also has reference to the gods of the Egyptians. But now they're dwelling in Canaan, and the Amorites are all around them. Are you going to serve their gods? Gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. What does the word Amorites mean? It was a people, but the word means Westerners. Westerners. Gods of the Westerners. Now, simply means Westerners, publicity, prominence. We often think about Eastern religions and those gods that the Eastern culture worships and bows down to. Do the Westerners have gods? Are there gods around us in whose land we dwell? Gods of the Westerners. Will we worship these gods in our homes? What might be some of these gods? Gods of the Westerners. We live in a world that is given to the god of entertainment. Entertainment. Many, many worship gods of entertainment in the Western culture, Western world. I'm appalled at times. I just thought about it again, flying to Ireland. Everyone has their own individual screen. Entertainment. And people become glued to that god of entertainment. And if you need to go to the toilet and you're sitting on a seat close to the window and you need to get out, sometimes it's a bit difficult to distract someone from that god. Entertainment. Will I allow the god of entertainment to have inroads into my home? Do I want it to be there? As for me and my house, will I serve the Lord or will I serve gods of the Westerners? There's the god of sports. Millions spent in worship of this god. I recall we lived in northern Indiana at one time, about a mile and a half, 2 miles, between a mile and a half, 2 miles from a football field. And on a particular evening when there were matches and when there were games, you could at times hear those who were there observing this game, and there was just an appall and a noise that would be carried for 2 miles. Worship. How excited do I get? Do my sons and daughters know that I love going to a worship service every Sunday morning? I want to be there. I want to serve the Lord God. Not someone that's chasing after a dead ball being thrown back and forth. Gods of the Westerners. We could talk about God of fashion. Again, millions spent to worship this God. We could talk about the God of affluence. And brothers and friends, this is one that comes so close to home. We spend so much time, and we need to provide. I'll probably say some things about that in another message. But we need to be providers. But is that a God that we're bowing down to and worshiping? Affluence, the American dream, a good retirement. There's nothing wrong. I don't think so. But taking a little lesser role in life, But that dare not be a God. I think of a father, and I don't have the quote with me, but this is one of the things that he said on his dying bed, his deathbed. He said, I made enough money in my lifetime to send all my sons and daughters to hell. Oh, may God help me. It may never be said, this man or of you and your home. Gods of affluence, of wealth, gods of the Westerners, the Amorites in whose land we dwell, they're around us in this Western culture. Worship. What is worship? Be interesting to hear from you this morning. If you could describe what is worship, what would you tell me? What is worship? The Hebrews. When they, before there were letters and words, they used pictures. They wrote with pictograph. When a Hebrew saw the word worship, he saw three pictures. The first picture was a picture of a fence. The second picture was a picture of a tent. And the third picture then was the picture of a man's teeth. And when the Hebrews saw those three pictures put together, they knew it meant worship. Of course, in Hebrew, you read from right to left. So let's reverse those pictures, and let's look at these pictures. The first, you have a man's teeth. What do we do with our teeth? Well, we'll demonstrate here in a bit. We take in. We consume our food. That's the way we consume our food, with our teeth. Then there is a tent. And what's a tent? The tent is where they lived. That was their home. It was home to them. They took it in. It was where they stayed, where they stayed inside. So we consume, when we take in with our teeth, we take it in, into the tent. Then the fence. Well, the fence, what was much to them, what you and I know a fence to be. It surrounded the place, the home. It was a place of security and safety. A safe place to be. But the fence had a gate. And the gate was open. So within that safety, they understood that worship was being consumed of something. And it was taken in. It became a part of them. But not only, but they couldn't keep it there. It was a safe place to be because it was hemmed in with a fence, but it couldn't stay there. There was an open gate. And they were to take, as they worshiped God, in a safe way, in a safe place, they took that message out to others through the gateway. Worship. Worship consumes the worshiper. Am I consumed with worshiping the Lord God? As for me and my house, we will serve, we will worship the Lord God. May I be a little practical now? And again, I assume this morning that every home may do it a bit different. There is no just one way to have a little worship service in our homes. But I hope, I trust, that every Christian family, every mother and father here today, you have some time throughout the day where you gather your family around you and you have a worship experience. Now I want to be, and I don't want to narrow it in on just a 15, 20, 30 minute experience throughout the day, a part of the day, because worship becomes a way of life. As I said, we become consumed. And we take it in, it's part of us. But as a family, there needs to be a time, I believe, if our children are going to see that as for our house, we're going to serve the Lord, then they're going to need to see us literally gathering to worship Him. Now, for us, it's a bit different. Yes, we still have our daughter at home, youngest daughter, so we do have a time of worship. But for some, children are grown, they're gone, they now have their own family worship time. And my wife and I, we have our personal worship times. And I think all of us need to do that. But we also gather evenings before we go to bed. And we just have a time of worship. And for families with young children, I've said that is a good place to teach and to instruct our children to sit still. Maybe it's just 15, 20, 30 minutes. But there's a time when we put away toys and we have a time of worship. And for small children, I'm sure there's various levels. I mean, maybe it's reading stories. Maybe there will come a time as they get older, teens, you'll want to just read from the Bible. But there needs to be some time. As for my house, we'll spend some time in worship as we are together as a family. Let's move on to the second point then. So number one, we have worship. Then Joshua gives warning. Warning. We find that in verse 19 and 20. And Joshua said unto the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that He hath done you good." The warning was, "Dear Israel, listen to these last words of warning. God, Jehovah, is a jealous God." Is He? He is. He is a jealous God. And He will have no other compared or equal with Him. To whom will you liken God? Isaiah 40, a beautiful one, a picture of God and who God is. God is whole and complete in one. And we heard a bit about heresy this morning. Every time that I take one of the attributes of my holy God and I exalt it above the other attribute, I am creating none other than heresy. Well, God is a God of love. He's a God of justice. Equally whole and complete. God is a jealous God, and he will have none other. So important. And I know it's so difficult. In this land that we live with the Amorites and the gods of the Westerns all around us, it's so easy to try to reach out to them and still say, yes, I'm true to you, Lord. No, the warning is God is jealous. We have no other. We serve him and him alone. May that warning be clear to us in our homes. Yes, we serve the Lord, God, and him alone. He is jealous. So there's worship, there's warning, then lastly, there's witness. And we find that in verse 22. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him or to worship him. And they said, we are witnesses. They said this three times. They said it in verse 16, verse 21, and verse 24. By saying this three times, there was an affirmation. Because when they said something three times, it was affirmed. This is the way that it is to be. But Joshua said there needs to be a witness. This, and what it simply means, there needs to be record of what you've just said. All of us have heard the phrase, talk is cheap. It really is. Talk is cheap. We can say something and when we're really put to the test, where are we at? Where are we at? May I relate a personal experience? And I might do some of that this weekend, but I want to refrain from doing too much of that. But I recall as a young father, I was burdened about the possibility of where my children may end up at. Was my influence as a father in the home and as a mother, my wife's as a mother, what was, as parents, were we influencing our children? That they would go the right direction. Because as I observed around me, there were others that were making some choices that I was burdened about. And I went to a wise older father, brother in the church, and we were reminded of how we need that to keep us balanced. And I asked this dear brother, I said, what counsel, what advice do you have for me? That I can, as a father, encourage my sons and daughters to stay in the straight and the narrow way. And he asked me what some of my goals and ambitions were. And I shared them with him. And he told me exactly what Joshua was telling Israel here. He said, you go home and you sit down at your desk and you record. You make a witness for what you just said, what you just told me. You write it down on a piece of paper. And he said, you put that piece of paper somewhere where you can get it out just occasionally every year or two to review it. This is what my goal was. This is what my aspirations are. How close am I to that in 5 years?
in 10 years from now. That was wise. That was wise. I suppose I could still find that witness if I wanted to. It was good for me. Because as a young man, I had high goals, vision for my home, my family. Was I going to reach it? I needed to reflect on that just occasionally. This is what I wanted. This is what I said I want. It's so easy then when we become, and when we face the heat and the burden of the day, to just back away. To just back away from that a bit. But no, it was there. This is what I wanted. And I need to be encouraged in it. Worship, warning, and witness for my house, for our house. Last but not least, verse 23, and I love this. Now, therefore, Joshua says, put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Do you know what the word incline means here? The word inclining our heart to the Lord. It simply means that we are going to reach as far as we can reach. It's going to cause us to step on the tip of our toes to reach the height, as high as we can go, as it relates to my home and my family. I ask us this morning, is average good enough for you? If we're going to be satisfied with average, it won't make it. I'm afraid the gods that are around us are going to move into our homes and we'll be overcome with these gods. You and I, if our home is going to be a home that serves God, it's going to take some effort, some reaching, some stretching, and, dare I say, some pain. It will not just happen. If we expect it just to happen, we're going to be disappointed. If I'm satisfied with just average, it probably won't happen. May God help us. As we reached for the highest, we may not achieve all of our goals and aspirations. I haven't. We haven't. We failed, as I said. But there must be a goal. There must be something that we're reaching for and reaching out to, striving for. May God bless each home here this morning. As we make that statement, make that commitment for my house, we will worship and serve the Lord. He is a jealous God. And yes, I want to have witness that that's my desire, that's my goal, that's my ambition. May I just pray for every home and family? Let's bow our heads to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the words of Joshua in chapter 24. The challenge that he put before us to put away gods and to serve you, the Lord God, alone. Oh God, I pray that you would teach us what it means to worship you, to be consumed of you within ourselves, within, and then in safety to go out and minister to others. Oh God, I pray that you would help us to heed the warnings that are given in this text. Help us also to be witnesses, to have witnesses around us that encourage us to continue. And then may we reach for the highest, Lord, not to be content and satisfied with average, but to pursue you, to worship you. Bless every home that is represented here this day. For your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.